The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
The humanity of the priest is a bridge to encountering Christ and should not be a barrier. People always say, like, well, if you weren't a priest, what would you be doing? And I'm like, it's hard for me to think of anything other than what I'm doing.
That's what we're striving to discern, is what is God's plan, his dream, his will, his desire for me, where I'm going to be most fulfilled. And it really is through living a sacramental life that is absolutely going to support that.
When you're married, you have to realize it's not just you anymore. It's you and your wife and God.
If you desire to be truly happy, then your life should not be about you.
Welcome to God Calling, our locally produced program that explores the various vocations available to Catholics in all walks of life. Now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Well, thanks for joining us once again. This is God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski, and a special show today because one of my longest associates here in Cleveland, Judge Brendan Sheehan, is here, and his wife is here as well, Judge Michelle Sheehan. Judge, you're now the presiding judge of Common Pleas Court, and Michelle, you're on the 8th District Court of Appeals.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having us.
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
An honor to be here.
Yeah, we've been kind of, I've had this in my head for a bit. We met when you were 15,
yeah.
Many, many years ago.
I had dark hair, and you had darker hair.
Well, you never know. I might have had a little help. In any case, Judge, let's start with you first. Where did you grow up? How did you grow up? Mass every week, that sort of thing?
First of all, if you know me, you know both my mom and dad are Irish Catholic.
Yes, I do.
Right off the boat from Ireland. They came to Cleveland and had myself and my three sisters. We grew up at the St. Brendan's Parish in North Olmsted.
Mm-hmm.
And Father Kenny was our parishioner, and Father Murray was there. And we grew up at St. Brendan's, and then after going to St. Brendan's, went to St. Ed's High School, go Eagles. After graduating from St. Ed's, I made a decision to go to Baldwin-Wallace College, now Baldwin-Wallace University, close to home, great community. And so I went to Baldwin-Wallace, and after Baldwin-Wallace, went on to Cleveland Marshall, and now Cleveland State Law School, and was fortunate enough to be here today. It's been very, very fortunate life.
Yeah. Well, you did some hardships as well. We can talk about that a little bit. But Michelle, tell me your story. Same thing. You grew up in Orange, I believe.
I did. I'm originally born in Youngstown.
Ah, okay.
Lived in Niles, and then in high school moved up to the Woodmere Village area, which allowed me to go to Orange High School. And I have two brothers. The first in my family to go to college, and then went on to law school and met Brendan in law school.
Okay. Mass every week, that sort of thing? Was it?
This is a great story, Paul. I love this one. We went on a trip to Ireland to visit some of my relatives over there after law school. And I told, her name was Joseph, and I told everyone she was Irish and Irish and Catholic, even my mother, only she wasn't Catholic.
Oh, okay.
And I was not always Catholic.
Yeah,
but there's
right.
a great story. She converted, we took the PSR classes at St. Chris, and that's a great story to get into, too.
Tell me about
what
that.
What year was that? I don't...
It was when our daughter was going through First Communion.
Okay.
And we got married.
And this was our
married.
Second daughter.
Yeah,
we already
daughter.
Had one
yeah,
child go through First Communion.
Okay.
And so our second daughter was going through First Communion at St. Christopher.
In
Rocky River. And she always went to church with our kids, and we raised our kids Catholic. And when we got married, Father Murray's like, well,
if you believe in Jesus, we can do this.
We can do this.
Okay.
And so we took communion, and it was great. And
I thought I was allowed to take communion.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, Father John Klebo at St. Chris says, I think Michelle asked a question.
I called myself out.
Yeah.
Because at First Communion, the practice, he said, if you're Catholic, you can join your child for communion. And I went up afterwards, and I said, what do you mean, if you're Catholic? I have no idea what you're talking about. It had been 13 years at this point we'd been married.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He goes, you're supposed to be Catholic. I'm like, I didn't know.
And the best part about it was the next year, or I think actually the next month, enrolled in the PSR program at St. Chris. And I didn't know what it entailed growing up. I really never knew about PSR.
I think Brennan had more fun that year. I actually, going to classes.
It was every Monday, and it was just, they really did a wonderful job. And ever since that, I have to tell you, just from my own perspective, looking at Michelle, she's more Catholic than anyone I have ever witnessed. She's not only involved in everything in the church, she's a lector, she's always involved. But going through those classes and watching and going through those, I did have a lot of fun in those classes. It was a good refresher.
And just to back up a hair, so no one thinks I was a heathen my whole life.
Nope.
I was baptized, but my family wasn't involved in any church. Mm-hmm. So around middle school, I sought out religion, I sought out a church, and being on the east side, I was baptized Episcopalian. I went to the Episcopalian church. I was confirmed. I was an altar person. It was just a personal calling for me. And then that's why going from Episcopalian to Catholicism wasn't a big leap, but it was something that was always part of my life.
Was there something in the at St. Chris's or one of the priests, something that just says, you know, I should do this?
Well, first of all, it was us dating. One of the many qualities I love about Brendan was the fact that we would go to church every Sunday. That's mm-hmm. our 5 o'clock mass. That's our thing. And we got married in the Catholic Church. We were raising our children. Honestly, it really stems from I was pregnant with one of our children and I slipped on the ice. And I was really concerned for the child's safety. And the first thing I did was pray. And then that Sunday, Father John did a homily about if you can give your children anything, you can give them faith, give mm-hmm. them the foundation of faith. And that's when I was like, okay, I heard, let's build this faith for them. And it went from there. Yeah. So it
became a family affair.
Exactly.
How'd you guys meet?
Oh, my. That's a great story. So we're both in law school. I know Michelle would like to laugh about this, but I met her on a Saturday. I went to school at night, law school at night. So during the week, I was working in the courts as a bailiff and mm-hmm. going to school at night. And as a matter of fact, one of the times I'd see Paul Orlowski in the courtroom.
Yeah.
And I ended up going at night, so I'd study on the weekends on Saturday. And I met Michelle in the library at the law school. I thought she remembered me, but time moves forward, and I'll never forget, I can even tell you when it happened. If you remember the famous case with Clarence Thomas was going through his nomination process mm-hmm. to be on the Supreme Court. We're in trial. Judge Nugent was the judge I worked for, and he's working on a Friday night. It's like 6 o'clock with the jury, and all my friends are going to a bar on the west side, the Bank Street Bar. Well, little did I know that I was in trial. I said, I'll meet you guys afterwards. So I'm waiting, watching the Clarence Thomas trial in the back on a little TV. And while the jury's deliberating, I believe, at that time. And sure enough, the case gets done. I walk across the street, and out of this alley come these two ladies wearing the identical suits. And I laughed at them, and I said, good morning or good afternoon. I walk into the bar with them. I think I made a joke. I can't remember my real funny joke, but I made some stupid joke. I remember the one lady laughed at my joke, and Michelle didn't. So we ended up going into the bar and introduced myself, and she thought she remembered me from somewhere. She didn't know, and we were in law school, and I said, I met you in the library. So we ended up, I talk about a small world. One of my grade school friends knew Michelle at St. Brendan's. I called him. I said, hey, do you know Michelle Joseph's phone number? He gave it to me. This is back in the day.
You had to have a phone number.
Yeah, you had to have a phone number. And sure enough, she went on. Well, she tried to, you tell that story, Michelle, because it's better than mine.
I'm going to stop you right there. We'll come back with that after these messages. On God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Judges Michelle and Brendan Sheehan joining me on God Calling this week. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you will each and every week at this very same time. Michelle, we heard his version of you meeting and starting to date. What's the truth?
It was fairly accurate. However, I did have to go into work the next morning and said I met this guy, he's a bailiff, and he said I should come meet his judge. What's a bailiff and why do I want to meet his judge? And then everyone I worked with said, yes, you should go on a date with this man. But literally, I was always busy. So he'd call, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't. And he called one time, and he said, well, can you go out? And I go, no, you won't believe this, but my dad's in town from Youngstown. Like, my dad's never in town. I can't. And he goes, that's okay. I'll go with you. I go, okay.
I just want you to know that I was calling her out thinking, sure, if she lets me go with her dad, there's something going on.
So our first date was with my dad.
No kidding.
He went, and my dad showed up. And
did you pick up the check?
I think I did, actually.
good move, my friend. Good move.
So, but you'll love this, Paul. Just to finish the rest of the story, Michelle was, she's very focused and very determined in law school, and she really didn't have time for dating me, I think. I think she called it the two-date rule. But anyways, I'm in class one day, and Michelle, being in law school, you really don't have a lot of money, and she's driving this car.
I always had my dad's hand-me-downs.
Yeah.
Dad hand-me-down cars that didn't really work.
I'm in the law school class, and she's like, oh, my car broke down. So I skip class, and I get a couple of my friends, and we push her car to the gas station in Cleveland to get a battery in it. And as I'm doing that, she's telling her friends that she's ready to dump me. How do you like that? And lo and behold, but for me, pushing her car, it was destiny. It was fate.
I came home and said, you can't break up with a guy that pushes your car to the mechanic. I mean, you just can't.
3 years later, we're married.
That's right. So, okay. 3 years.
Yeah, we dated for 3 years. It was a lot of fun.
What year were you married?
95. We started dating in 91.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. See, there's my
around
dates
there.
4 years later.
Yeah.
So you start having a family when? You have three children.
Our first child was born in 98.
Yes. Erin, who today, just her background, our oldest daughter, went to St. Chris grade school, went to Magnificat High School, ended up going to Ohio State, and now is in her fourth year of medical school. And
wonderful.
She'll graduate in spring.
God knows. She wants to be a surgeon, so if you ever need a good surgeon, look for her.
I got a lot of body parts wearing out. I may. I've already got a metal hip.
Right. Our second daughter is, you met Michaela.
Yes, I did.
Our second daughter, Michaela, is now, again, went to St. Chris grade school. And then she was our wants to be a little different. And she went to Rocky River High School and then went to Miami of Ohio. Just a couple months ago, we moved her to New York City.
Oh.
And she's living in East Village, digital marketing. And she loves every minute of it. And I call her, she doesn't call me, I call her daily, but I miss her.
She does her own podcast
great.
Too for music.
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, well, that's the way it's
music.
Going, because,
yeah.
You know, television.
And you, fortunately, gave her good direction. If I can tell that story, poor Paul's covering a trial in the courthouse, and I bring Michaela down, and she's interested in the media and what they do, and Paul takes her under her wing and lets her follow you around, which I thought she always talks about that. And what a great experience.
Well, she was a good student.
Was.
You could tell she was observing.
Yeah.
And the way the media, the television is going, the digital is the way to go. So
yeah,
she made
she's
the right
doing good. And then finally, our son, Tim, who's named after my dad, Tim went to St. Chris and then liked Michaela's passage to Rocky River Middle School and then went to St. Ed's High School, graduated from St. Ed's. And he's now a junior at Miami of Ohio. You know, this summer he surprised us. He told us that he's thinking about going into law.
Oh, wow.
So we'll see. We'll see where that goes. But I was down at Miami of Ohio last weekend visiting him for Father's weekend. And I learned I'm not 20 years old anymore. I cannot live the lifestyle of Miami students.
No.
Michelle, but we enjoyed it.
How important the Catholic education that they got at St. Chris's and, you know, forming the people that they are?
Well, interesting story, because not being raised Catholic, mm-hmm. I didn't appreciate what it was like to go through Catholic grade school. And I remember we would talk about this early on. I was a product of public school. Brendan went all through Catholic school, and we debated this issue. And I concede. We'll go grade school because it's important to have faith, and then they can choose high school. Not knowing, once you're in grade school, they loved it and they stayed with it, and I was thrilled with it. So it worked out really well. And St. Chris is in our backyard. So, although they did go to preschool at Our Lady Mount Carmel down on West 70th, and I love that school too, and I love the teachers, and I'm still very close to many of those teachers.
Those nuns and Italian, for being Irish, our kids talk with their hands still.
Yeah, we've had a couple of the nuns from down there on the show, and they're just delightful. And
they're beautiful ladies. Yeah.
You know, it's funny with Tim thinking now of law school, you were almost to the finish line when it came to tuition and stuff like that.
Almost.
and then another one back on the payroll.
Yeah. You know, and as I said, in this world, education is something we always stress to our kids, is education is important. As long as they want to do something and further their education, I'm all in.
Do you see that in court, that the lack of education is maybe a common thread through many of the criminals that that come before you?
You know, it's sad because what I see is, unfortunately, a lack of family unity.
Yeah.
And I see young kids not getting that push from their parents because their parents aren't around or something's happened in their lives and they just drop out of school. They don't finish their schooling, or they feel that no one's told them how important school is. Yeah. And they figure, I'll go make money right now and help out. And it's just, unfortunately, education is so important in our community. And in the criminal justice system, I think a lot of folks who come in don't have even a high school graduation.
Yeah. Judges, stay where you are. We're going to come back with more on God Calling after these messages on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Judges Michelle and Brendan Sheehan joining us on God Calling. You know, you mentioned a name that I have to get back to, and that is Judge Don Nugent. Mm. You clerked for him and were in his office and stuff, and I don't want to dwell on the story, but your dad was murdered.
Yes.
And Don was the prosecutor in that case. And he kind of took you under his wing. And, yeah. And we talk about how the lack of stressing education is leading to criminals. Okay, you had a terrible loss. There was not a father figure after you were about, 14 or 15?
Yeah.
And somebody picking up that role and mentoring made all the difference, I would guess.
No, you're right, Paul. You know, as you mentioned, my dad was killed when I was 15 at Cleveland State when he was working there. Mm-hmm. The individual who killed my dad, he went to his trial, and Don Nugent was the prosecutor. And as a young kid, you're trying to figure out what the heck happened. And
sure.
As a matter of fact, I think I met you during that trial.
You did.
And I got to watch, and I saw a judge, I saw the prosecutor, I saw the defense lawyers, and who I've met, it was surreal as a kid to watch that. But then, I mean, to talk about that, so that, you know, you watch a trial, you want to know what happened, you want to know answers, but then you see the system work, and then it kind of motivated me to mm-hmm. kind of want to be a lawyer. So I kind of one day in my college days walked over to Nugent and introduced myself again to him, and he knew me, and we became friends, and he was a great mentor to me, a guidestone to me. And you know, he was the one who said, Brendan, after I graduated from college, he goes, you want to go to law school? I go, yeah. He goes, well, why don't you work during the day and get some money and go to school at night? I said, well, that's a brilliant idea.
Sure.
So he was kind enough to hire me as his scheduler and then bailiff. And then
he had his little cubbyhole.
Yeah, right. And Judge Sean Gallagher worked for him also. And we ended up working, and he was just a good guide to me. And as I progressed through my career, he hired me when he was appointed to the federal bench, and he asked me to clerk for him in federal court. I got that great experience. And he also motivated me to, hey, it's time to go try cases and go be a lawyer.
Yeah.
And gave me that push to do so. And so I went to law firms, and then I always wanted to try cases as a lawyer, and I ended up going to the prosecutor's office. And the rest of the story is I was a prosecutor and was fortunate enough to get elected in 2008 as a judge. So
I was at the swearing-in ceremony at the old courthouse, if I'm not mistaken. And one of the crustier judges was next to me. He goes, this is like a coronation.
It kind of was.
Well,
I'll tell you off the air who it was.
Yeah, that's great.
Michelle, did you have the same passion for law? When did you decide that, maybe I want to do that?
You know, you mentioned mentorship, and it really was important. Somebody in high school, my mom was a secretary, so I wanted to be a secretary, and then I thought it'd be great to be an executive secretary. Then I thought a paralegal, mm-hmm. and then I said, well, someone said, if you're going to be a paralegal, why don't you just be a lawyer? I'm like, okay. and I did, and I had a lot of those same similar, a trial court judge, well, she was a trial court judge at the time, Ann Dyke, let me shadow her, and then when I was in law school, I came back, and she helped me move along. So one of the things now in the Court of Appeals I do is I have a huge internship and externship program really designed for students who don't have any connection to the law, because I didn't really, I don't have any lawyers in my family, let alone, you know, many college degree individuals. So I try really hard to have a slew of them, as does Brendan, all the time, because it's that little influence, that little, you can do this.
Paying it
that
forward,
helps.
I guess.
Right.
Yeah. It's very important. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, the kids now are obviously out of the house. What do you guys do? Well, I know you're busy at the church.
I think the front door just rotates. They just come and go.
Well, you laugh, Paul, but we have a dog, and the dog is like a kid. And even leaving here today, he's like a kid. We have to get babysitters.
COVID anxiety.
The dog does not like to be alone. And so, anyways, we have a kid at home, our dog, Bruno.
Okay.
He did get baptized in the Catholic Church.
Oh, really?
They have dog blessings, and the dog goes to the church. I love it.
It's always on my birthday, October 4th.
There you go.
That's the Saints Francis of Assisi.
Amen.
Thus my middle name.
Ah,
Francis, yeah.
I love it.
They didn't look too far. They just looked at a calendar and saw, let's call him that. what are you going to do? But when did you decide to run for judge, Michelle? Because you were, for a long time, with a very prestigious law firm.
Two law students dating is it's just unique. And now we're two judges. It wasn't meant to be that. Brendan went as a prosecutor in law school. He wanted to go the criminal route. I ended up at a civil firm by luck and stayed there for over 25 years. Loved it. When he ran, I had so much fun running or helping, you know, his campaign. And I worked on a lot of campaigns, and I enjoy that aspect. It was not my intent to run for judge, but I developed an appellate practice. I loved it. I was passionate about it. And I had that skill set, and it all kind of came together.
So, Paul, for your audience, can I just say this? They have to feel a little bad for me, because I'm never right at home, and I'm never right at work, because the appellate court has the final say
over
me. And Michelle is in the appellate court, but she can't hear my cases, but I have to follow her rule of law.
It's like in my house, we have weighted voting.
Yeah. There we go.
But, we're just about out of time, but this has really been delightful, and we could go in so many more ways.
Yeah, and I just want to say thank you for having us. And one thing that, if I could just say about faith, is that you have to have your faith, and if you can just instill it in your family, your friends, the folks you cross with, it is a guidestone to get people to do good things.
It gets you through everything in life.
Certainly in your job in the criminal court, and in mine, and seeing a lot of the things I witnessed, you can get a hard heart very, very fast, because as you know, I've witnessed execution and on it goes. And I could see a lot of stuff, and it just didn't bother me. And I always have to get back to the touchstones and say, hey, what is this really about? Yeah, exactly. Well, judges, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, and thank you for having us.
Folks, thank you for listening. We hope you'll join us each and every week at this time on God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski.
Thank you for listening to God Calling. If you missed part of today's show, or you just want to hear it again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab. And remember, wherever you are in life, God is calling you.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.